At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Tom Freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
What happened here?
Go fuck yourself. And I am a sports entertainer.
Ladies, gentlemen, NBs, this is the Eat Sleep Elite. This is the ESE podcast, let's be honest. It's Eat Sleep Elite, but this is ESE, let's be honest. We're back again, more wrestling this week. We did some more fantasy pod this week, and so we slapped that on the timeline, so make sure you get, you know, listen to that if you're into those books slash, you know, into fantasy stuff. At all, we still have our Deadpool and Wolverine review out there cooking if you saw that movie. And also, you know, follow us on Twitter. It's at Bane Duke, BaneDuke, at OCharlie with an X instead of an A, at Eat Sleep Elite on Twitter. So if you can follow us and, you know, communicate with us and participate in our polls, as well as you can tell us to go fuck ourselves. You can pull a Christian Cage. I believe we are good to go. And so then in that case, I'll move into favorites here. And I have the lead here, if you will. I'll be jumping in first. And we'll be jumping straight to the end because, you know, as everyone knows, I love to pick the last thing that happened in the week as the first thing that we talk about, because that makes complete sense from a chronological perspective, obviously. But it doesn't split the way that I talk about the favorite. Yeah, so we have I'd love to know how many collision matches and main events have been a favorite this year. It's probably an absurd amount.
And it's it'll all be tallied at the end.
Oh, yeah. Hola, bud. Bud. Anyway, excuse me. So FTR taking on the Acclaimed and the gimmick, or I guess not really at the gimmick, but the stakes, the pressure, whatever you want to call it. I'm not finding the right words here, but whatever word I'm looking for is that the winner of this match, because there's been so much tension between FTR and the Acclaimed, and basically the way that they have taken this in the back is they understand that even though the Acclaimed obviously have a title shot, because of what happened between them and FTR, it got in their heads too much. They got involved. They ended up, you know, getting disqualified or whatever, you know what I mean? And whatever. The point is, like, the match got thrown out or whatever, right? And so the winner of this match will go to Wembley to face the Young Bucks. And first of all, I just want to throw back to they cut to backstage and Max Caster did his rap. Interesting line about immigrants in there.
Absolutely fucking dreadful.
Wow. I mean, I'll tell you this. This is how bad this was. I didn't watch this all. I watched all of wrestling last night, right? Because I'm a fucking lunatic, right? And I just hadn't gotten around to it yet. So I watched, like, what is it? Like 7 hours of wrestling or something stupid? Like whatever it was, like, you know, like. But when I was to this point, I completely forgot. You know, I'm hour six, so I'm like, you know, I don't even care. Like, I'm paying attention, but like, stuff's not sticking out to me that happened that I saw earlier in this week. I saw this on like the night it happened, like on Twitter. Like, I was like, no, what did he do? And it was not good. So that, you know, but that's classic Max Caster. He says things controversial. I don't even think he's getting in trouble for it anymore, you know what I mean? Because they know what to expect. And unless he says something ridiculous, which he has not done for a long time, you know? And I think this was incredibly insensitive, maybe a little racist, you know? Don't know if that would be a term you would want to apply in this situation. So I'm just going to throw it out there as a possibility. If somebody wants to clap back at me and be like, wow, how could you say this guy's being racist? Maybe I'm wrong, right? But, you know, like, but that's just the way I, you know, kind of think about it.
There's just no need for this as a storytelling fucking, you know.
It does nothing. It has nothing. There's no connection to, like, and even if there was connection to FTR, it would almost make it worse. You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, I don't know. But anyway, so that aside, you know, that didn't take anything away from the actual match, in my opinion. I don't think about, like, this is how I haven't really talked about this on wrestling that much. Maybe a bit. But the whole idea of, like, separating the art from the artist for me, like, it's not what I'm doing with this match. I just want to make that clear. I just don't think it actually does anything to this match. I think if you were to continue saying lines like this every week, then I would probably start being like, I don't know, you know, this is a little weird, you know, like, but I just want to make that clear that it's not like I'm just dismissing that just so that I can talk about the match. It's It's not something that I would just do. I think this is an example of a really booked, well-booked storyline for number one contenders. Like, you can have a number one contender storyline that's just like, oh, and they beat these people, and they beat these people, and then, oh, the champs are running from them. And that's fine. That's, you know, that's kind of like the, I don't know, the basic storyline that you can do in wrestling or whatever to get a number one contender's setup or whatever. But here, you know, it's like everybody could feel that FTR deserved to go to Wembley to face the Young Bucks. They just needed to be there for this match to run it back from a year ago, you know? And so they didn't, like, for, it's not like, it's like AEW was aware of that, and so they were like, you know what, we'll change what we're doing. And it made it feel like this was, like, a little bit, like, there was, I think, the last couple of weeks, I think you would say that our opinion was something to the effect of, we were not into what's going on with the Acclaimed, right? The idea of FTR being floated, I think there was just part of us that did not think they would pivot this hard, this close to Wembley, Charlie, with regards to who would be going after the tag team titles. Now, they didn't do the full hard pivot of having FTR become the number one contenders. That would have been insane. Honestly, I don't know if I would have even been in support of that. I would have sucked for the Acclaimed. You know what I mean? No offense to the Acclaimed, but I would understand. But, like, you know, like, I don't think they would deserve that. It's, like, it's not their fault they got made number one contenders a month out from Wembley, you know what I mean? Or, like, a couple months out from Wembley, whatever it was, you know what I mean? Like, that's not their fault, you know what I mean? And then not having it get resolved at any point between now and then, you know what I mean? Like, that's not their fault. But, you know, like, but that's not what they ended up doing. And I do actually want to talk about the match a little bit. I like this. It was super personal. And it started with the lockups. When they first locked up, there was one specific lockup. I don't know if it was Cash or Dax, but when Max Caster locked up with whoever it was he first locked up with, there was aggression there. You know what I mean? Like, and it's something that I just got to, very good stuff. Like, I was really happy with this because it felt like a super personal, like a knockdown sort of drag out match. And I appreciate that. And I also kind of part of me thought Charlie was kind of an excellent excuse. Like, if they had lost this match to turn the Acclaimed back to bad guys, you know, which they didn't go that way. So, but that's just a thought in my head. Maybe that's what you could spin out of this. You know, maybe they go back to being, because then Max Caster saying that line maybe kind of fits, you know what I mean? Cause he used to say those kinds of things all the time as a heel, you know, but anyway. But what I love about both of these teams, Charlie, and this is something, you know, that I don't think a lot of people would give the Acclaimed the credit that they deserve in this regard. Neither of these teams are the kind of teams that do, like, flips or flashy shit to get over. That's not what they do in the ring. They do a different thing. You know what I mean? FTR do a completely different thing. But even Caster and Bowens, they don't wrestle like a lot of people on the rest of the roster do. They hit one move off the top rope. It's an elbow drop. You know what I mean? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a few cross bodies here and there. They're not that kind of team, though. They just do – them against MXM would actually probably be brilliant because of it would just be a storyline. You know what I mean? Like, and also, you just can imagine the a million things the Max Caster would have to say. You know what I mean? Like, but like –
brawling and technician style mixed with each other. It's kind of all, you know, none of them. Yeah.
Yeah, because they were both fully fledged wrestlers before they ever met each other. That's what I love about the Acclaimed, is that they were a team that Tony just sort of like birthed in his mind. You know what I mean? Like, it's cool stuff. But yeah, to get through the rest of this. And they do, by the way, they do some of those things. Don't get it twisted. You know, Cash will occasionally hit a flip, you know what I mean? Or whatever, it's like a dive. That's something that he does, you know what I mean? Like, but it's like, it's not like they don't rely on that. Like how, like, and again, no offense to the wrestlers that do kind of do this. For the wrestlers that rely on you just seeing them hit 50 moves in a match and that being impressive, you know, this is a different thing to that. You know what I mean? When Cash hits a dive out to the outside of the ring, you're like, holy shit, because he doesn't do that every single time. You know what I mean? But, or maybe he does and I'm just losing my mind. But I don't think he does. At least it feels like they do something different. Oh, there was the one, like, sort of bad fall on the suplex. I don't think anyone was in any danger. I think Dax is pretty good on his feet and just kind of tossed fucking, I think it was Bowens. He just chucked Bowens literally into the other corner so they didn't get hurt. You know what I mean? They just took the fall backwards. Absolute trooper. Shit probably hurt. You know what I mean? Basically, the whole story was the Acclaimed put everything they could in. They tried every move. They even hit a shatter machine at one point. And it goes to a time limit draw. And the resolution is that it will be a triple threat for the championships at Wembley, Charlie. So, first of all, just thoughts on the match. But then on top of that, your thoughts on the FTR versus Acclaimed versus the Young Bucks for the AEW World Tag Team Championships in Wembley Stadium, bruv.
Yeah, so I thought the match itself was pretty solid. You know, it. This one, sometimes these time limit draws, you blink and it's over, right? This one, do you think it felt a little stretched out? Like, I don't know about you, but after a certain point, I definitely was like, okay, we're not getting a result here.
Honestly, five minute call. I was like, yeah, why would they call it 5 minutes?
They seem to tee it up. I mean, look, hey, that's where they swerved us with the MJF and Ospreay thing, and I will forever tip that, right? I think that was, I still can't believe MJF's the fucking international champion. That's insane. I did not see that happening. And yeah, I do think this one, unfortunately, it felt a little stretched by that. However, that's my only negative.
I think it was helped by the fact that it was a 30-minute time limit draw, and there was tagged. It was two, you know, you could tag in and out, so there was times you could, like, I think they timed all the layouts pretty well. Like, I do understand what you mean, but, like, I think it worked for me in a way that I think it didn't, like, it never got away from itself. You know what I mean? Like, does that make sense? Like,
that's fair. Yeah. And I will say, I thought the creatively, Bowens and Dax Harwood had some really good, you know, kind of mixes together. I think that was...
like, especially like, the forearm trades at the end where Dash just fucking paintbrushes Bowens, dude. Oh my God.
You know, I would like to think Dash, you know, we know Dash is one of those guys who's kind of always checking online chatter. And I'd like to think he himself also believes Anthony Bowens, when he's turned loose as a single star, is going to be a star.
So damn, so like, we're saying that's going to happen at this point, that Max Caster's just cooked? Damn.
It's not, I mean, look, if he can swim, he can swim, right? But Anthony Bowens is a single star. He has been. And he's just been in a tag team. When his time comes, people will forget he was in a tag. They won't forget he was in a tag team, right? But when his time comes, I think.
I mean, if Max Caster bombs out as a solo, then, you know, then yeah, they probably will forget he was in a tag team, you know? Like,
look, we've had other tag teams, very prominent tag teams in this company, and sometimes a partner crashes and burns as a solo star. So much so they're in TNA now as single stars. So it happens. Or in NXT, it happens. But yeah, I think that was a shout out from Dax, and obviously Cash always looks fine. Yeah, I that to me stood out the most, and just it was kind of a nice little, you know, sayonara, goodbye, if you will, at Arlington, that we have a collision tag match main event, kind of our go home ticket, right? Obviously, the coming ROH shows will also be taped from this venue, but still, it was very nice to see. And yeah, this was I believe this got a 4-star match, and that's good. That's a high recommendation, right? So.
100%. Yeah.
And then to the other part of your question, this tag division and the match, this is going to be the 8th time the Young Bucks face FTR in some form or fashion. Might be the 9th if my counting's wrong, but I believe it's the 8th. I think this shows how desperate they were, that they said, fuck it, we got to run it back. This all goes down to not getting new teams over. You know, Private Party should have been in this spot. You could make a case for so many other teams should have been in this spot, but
if you think about it, the FTR run that led into Wembley last year was coming off of the Acclaim being tag team champions. Think about that, right? That's who they won them off of, right? And it was on a random collision, I think, or something like that, right? Or was it a Rampage? Something. It was a random match they just won them on TV, right?
It was a collision. It was for if they lose, they... Oh, no, that was a... No. The Guns took their titles. They took the titles from the Guns.
That's... Okay. That's right. I forgot Guns were temporarily, briefly...
Yep, and it was basically a career thing with with heavy rumors that FTR was indeed
were leaving the company, because Triple H was in charge at the time, I believe. I think. I could be wrong, but maybe there was thought that Triple H was good. Maybe, I think that might have been when Vince first was gone. Like, he wasn't gone, but Triple H was in charge, but he wasn't in charge yet. You know what I mean? Like, he was temporarily in charge type B. You know what I mean? Like, anyway, but think about that, though. The three teams we had over at this time last year were these three teams. We've done nothing to improve any of the other teams in that time. That is absurd, considering we've had some really good tag matches in that time. But why are the Guns stuck in the ROH vortex right now? Why are the, you know, why, like, what is going on? Like, I don't understand this. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
look, you can ask most people. This is the first time I think a lot of people have been unexcited about the Young Bucks and their tag champs. It's kind of, it's a weird feeling. It's a very weird thing. And they need to
figure it out. Do you think, okay, this is a real question. Do you think that the choice to lean into the evil EVPs thing has backfired in some ways? Like,
no, it was great. It absolutely was great, but they had a the creative what they've done with it since its beginning, it hasn't worked. And you know, we just got to see. Hopefully, it can turn up, or they dip these titles onto FTR, and maybe we run back an FTR program, and they might be dipping them on the Acclaimed. You never know. I guess we'll. But look, the conglomeration. There's so many tag teams right now that have been winning. Even the Don Callis family. Like, you can take any mixture of those guys. It's just, it is unfortunate, but we'll move on. Let's get into my favorite here, where I ended up picking Mercedes Moné versus Hikaru Shida for the TBS Championship. This opened up our show on Dynamite, so we're doing the classic bookend of the entire week here. It's always kind of fun. Yeah, I think this was presented as an important match.
If your first match and your last match of the week leave people with a good feeling, that's a good. That's a really good sign for your wrestling program, I feel like.
I thought this was a really good showcase of just how talented our women wrestlers are in AEW now. And these are two bona fide stars, you know, and I think they both went out there and put on a good performance. Now, we knew the Camille thing that was kind of teed up a little bit, like with her kind of intervening and doing things like that. And yeah, I mean, it felt like, as much as I enjoyed the match, it did feel like they were kind of saving a little bit of it for a pay-per-view match down the road. It did feel a little cut off by the time that it had, which
you think that's going to influence your thinking going into Wembley?
It could. It very well could. And
yes, speaking of that, are we doing our predictions for Wembley on this show? Because like it is this week, you know. So
yep, we'll be doing those at the end here. So, but yeah, this was good, and unfortunately, the post match angle, I was not a fan of. It's I think some timings were off. I mean, Britt Baker, she interrupts. I don't know. She had Camille look like an absolute dumbass, and it's very unfortunate because Camille went to take her off of her twice, and Britt didn't move until she finally had to, like, I don't know if this is, like, just she actually had to do it in the ring, but she literally had to, like, dump her over and be like, okay, look what you're doing. And I did like the intention, the throw off of her pulling the fan out to follow up the previous one. I do like that little page.
Bro, I don't want to intimate anything, especially with all the controversy surrounding Britt Baker lately, but we have heard about shit in the past about her fucking sandbagging people, right? Like, so like, her being sandbagged by people, but like, here's the thing, like, would Britt Baker do that in the ring? No, I think she just fucking didn't realize that Camille was trying to get her off. You know what I mean? Wait, pause. Anyway,
it really hurt Camille, and it sucks. I know it made her look good, and
I think they made up for it later in the week with Camille, but it didn't really. I think it might have been a little too late, you know, like, I don't know. Just,
the most eyes are right here, beginning of the show, you know, and that did suck. So it didn't, but again, even though I didn't like the execution of it, and I think we need to protect Camille right now, because we've never really done this. I mean, this is, they're treating her like a female Wardlow, right?
I mean, the last female that was treated like that, briefly Nyla Rose, when Nyla Rose first got to AEW, I think was kind of treated that way. But it was Jade. It was Jade. Jade was the blueprint of the big monster, like, woman in AEW, and so, you know, they have to make her not be Jade,
and
obviously.
She's a bodyguard. She has to look, like, enforcing. She has to. Yeah. But yeah, any other thoughts you had on the match? And it was good. I love seeing Mercedes wrestle on TV. Hikaru's new gimmicks working for me week to week. And again, just another week where I think the women, it was my favorite match. So
yeah, I think it set the tone for the week heading into Cardiff, you know, pretty well, because I think these last couple weeks before Wembley, I think are going to be characterized, hopefully, I would have to look back at last year to find out for sure, but I feel like there's going to be a lot of really competitive matches heading into the pay-per-view, which is kind of unusual. A lot of times you get like tune-up matches, you know what I mean? They're actually throwing some legit matches on the week of Wembley, you know, in Cardiff, because they want to put on a big show for the fans in the UK, you know what I mean? So it's going to be interesting to see how some of this stuff plays out, because we're getting, you know, two live shows in Cardiff and a Rampage. I mean, actually, no, three.
Right now.
Three, right? Because Rampage.
Big title change. I do think Claudio's going to win that title.
That would be really cool. And it would also give you a reason to put it on Wembley, you know what I mean? Because then you just run back, you know what I mean?
And that way you can toss Okada in the gauntlet match. They can do that with him anyways.
Yeah, actually, fair enough. And then that's what Claudio is the one he goes after for the chain. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Yeah, I would see. I could see that.
I could see a big, like, I know Claudio's not from Wales, and I'm not trying to insinuate that he is.
No, but it's the closest thing he's going to get made. Yeah.
A big title, so.
It's going to be a long time before we go to fucking his hometown, I think. You know, like,
yeah.
I would think. Imagine that's Claudio's retirement show is literally in he's Swiss, right? In Switzerland?
Swiss, yeah.
Yeah. Fucking, that would be kind of cool, you know? The Claudio Castagnoli Swiss, you know, showdown or something like that. Like, that'd be pretty sick, you know?
Yeah, so we'll transition. Shows up dressed
like James Bond. He came out like James Bond, bro. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. When he, it was against Mojo, right? He kind of interrupted him. And we kind of, well, we are, let's transition now. We've teed up, we've been talking about All In. All In was announced for next year. The twist, it's in Texas. This is a good sign. They are running a stadium show in Texas. I always like to point out who they brought to do the press. Athena, Mercedes Moné, Swerve Strickland, Darby Allin, Thunder Rosa was there, and I don't recall another wrestler, but I know Paul White, Renee were there. If I'm missing someone, I'm sorry. But it's always interesting to see who they bring out for their press.
Did we mention Orange Cassidy?
Orange Cassidy, there you go. Yep, he was there as well. But this is a good sign, and All In will be going at Texas from July next year. And then, good God, that heat, brother. Holy fuck. And then they will be back in London in 2026. This is good to bounce around. I think that'll keep it fresh, you know. I think it's also hard
to fill up Wembley three times in a row, you know what I mean? Like, not that they filled it the second time the same way, but, like, it's. I think getting 60,000 fans plus twice is insane. I mean, assuming it turns out to be 60K, whatever it ends up being on the day, you know what I mean? Like,
you want to make it feel special. I mean, look at Grand Slam. Each and every year, it kind of ticks down a little bit. Oh, but if Grand Slam goes away for 2 years, that next one will be nice. It'll be that much bigger.
I do think it's somebody must have convinced Tony that the hitting the same towns for the same shows every year is eventually going to have a diminishing return, you know? Like, so. Yes. And if that didn't happen, then we're fucked. But if it did happen, then I think we're good. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
which,
so.
Which also, I do, we kind of mentioned it as well. I love shooting a Dynamite and Collision from Wales. I really want them to take their shows out. Just not everything has to be in North America.
Right.
You know, I really love that idea. But yeah, that being said, they're not done with England in 2025. He says he has big plans. And now I want to say the original, it was like the Cottage or something.
Right. Oh yeah. The place that Fulham plays, right?
Yeah. That sounds right. And everyone kind of thought that would originally be the spot for All In. But maybe that's their big London. If they do a London show next year, it could be there. So,
yeah, I'm not sure what show they would put there. I'm trying to think what would make sense.
Either way, I'm down if they just run fucking Dynamites in London next year. I don't really care.
That would be cool, too. Yeah, I mean, if they just start running Dynamites from their freaking place in London, I mean, that would be pretty easy to do. And it'd be easier for someone like think about it, for like Will or Pac or somebody like that. That's literally just like a trip home if you're working on the show at the time.
Which, speaking of Fulham, the Fulham Football Club women's team has become an official partner of AEW. The logo is front and center on their kits. So, as I've been getting more and more into football recently.
Is that loaded into the current game we're playing? Like,
it will be the next one. Yeah, it will be the next one.
So
FC 25 it'll be in, and Football Manager 25, yeah. Well, actually, I don't know if they do women in Football Manager.
That would be interesting. Football Manager creators, if you don't have Women's League as your in your sim, then you're not only are you sexist, but you should do that because you'll make money. But
but yeah, this is pretty cool to see.
Popular.
I almost wonder how if they'd be able to pull this off with the men's, because I mean it's all fucking Premier League.
It would depend on if they. I mean, they probably have big enough sponsors. For no offense to the women, they probably have big enough sponsors for the men that they wouldn't necessarily need to be as big. Yeah, I think it's more like it's a benefit for AEW, honestly, than anything, because it just is advertising for AEW. Because Fulham obviously gets eyes a certain amount anyway, just because they're playing footy. You know what I mean? So like,
yeah. You know, it's a cool
thing.
I don't
even know how popular women's footy is over in the UK. I don't actually know for sure.
Just
like, I would
just
assume.
Like women's sports here getting more and more popular every year.
Well, there you go. So
there you go. Good sign. So Danielson, there's been a lot of updates on him this week. I'll just say this. He's definitely touting this as AEW. He's loved it in AEW. He doesn't have a contract. And he's ready for the next stage of his life. Essentially, that is what all of these interviews are. Is there smoke where there is there fire where there's smoke? Is he trying to throw us off? Again, he's selling the match. You need to believe this is a career versus title.
Yes.
You have to buy in that if he loses, he's never wrestling again.
I think I want to say I floated the idea like a couple of years ago on this show that it would be awesome if when Ryan is finally ready to wrap it up, that he legit makes us feel like this is the end of his career one way or the other.
Which he's done. He is 1,000% done that this time. So
and
good on
only
him.
One person could ever do that, and it's him. And it's because his career has probably been the most surreal of a wrestler's ever. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I can't think of anyone who's ever done it better. I can't think of anyone who's ever, like, really, like, I mean, if you, like, you know how people talk about, like, football player, right? The concept of, like, there's the football player, he's not necessarily the fastest, he's not necessarily the strongest, he's not necessarily the most athletic, right? But he is a football player because of the, you know, there's certain attributes that you have to have that have nothing to do with those other things that I just mentioned. Those things will help you, don't get it twisted. Look at all the freaks in the NFL right now, right? But there's something else that all those guys have that makes them a football player that has, it's intangible almost. You know what I'm talking about, Charlie? I'm sure you've heard this your whole life. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like it's, I think there's something about that in pro wrestling too, Charlie. Would you agree? I think if you look up the definition of a football player, like I said, it's not the fastest, strongest, most athletic guy. When you look up that dictionary definition, I think it might look something like Bryan Danielson. You know what I mean?
It's the need to get better.
Yeah.
And unlike a lot of other sports, the sport of wrestling, you absolutely, it's what you make it. It is 100% the effort you put into it is what you will become. And I know, like, what I mean by that, just so everyone's like, what the fuck do you mean? When if someone loses the Super Bowl or they lose, you know, the Champions League final game and they're like, oh, they just didn't want it. I hate that idea. I hate that saying. They just didn't want it. In wrestling,
you have to want it.
Straight up, you can tell. Like they'll kind of just sit by and take their paycheck week to week and just go
you
on.
Know what? I'll bring up an example, and hopefully he doesn't get offended by this. He's been a world champion in multiple companies. He could go be right now to Impact, and they make him world champion again, probably. But Johnny TV to me is not the guy that goes after the big glory. He just wants to provide the opportunity for other people to get better, right? By wrestling him or whatever, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And just put some good fucking matches on because he's a weird, like, 40, 50, whatever the fuck year old he is, like 30, 40 years old, doing this a long time, and he's still fucking elastic as hell. So he's like, fuck it, I'm just going to go have good matches, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like that, but nobody ever expects him to be AEW world champion, or even I don't even know if I expect him to be TNT champion or anything like that. He could just coast the rest of his career and make a good amount of money, you know, and be fine, you know. And he's already respected, so it's like, yeah. Once you reach to a certain point, you don't have to reach anymore. But the ones that do, those are the ones that stick with us. And you know, it's kind of brilliant that the guy probably who reached highest the most and had to put the most in and cared and wanted the most is about to go up with, I think. Charlie, I think maybe the current generation of wrestlers, guy that wants it the most, I think, out of all of them. And I think that's what an incredible story to tell, you know, like.
Yeah.
And they're both from the same region of the country, too. It's like this fucking story was meant to happen, man. Like, and if you can imagine 5 years ago, we could never have gotten this match in this way for this type of championship. I mean.
Yeah. It's very crazy. So
two guys Phoenix. That were considered cruiserweights by Vince McMahon. Are fighting for the world title in the second biggest wrestling company in the world. That's insane.
It's badass. And so Rey Fénix, there's been a lot of talk about his contract. So it sounds like AEW has the right to extend Fénix's deal for another year due to time off from injuries. I'll be straight up when I say this. AEW better not do that. That is everything Tony Khan was against when he first started this company.
Yes, but we already know that they have done it with people like CM Punk. So,
no, this is different. Phoenix, he has to let Phoenix go. You do not keep him in this company. There is no point. He doesn't want to be here anymore. He's done everything he can do. This is something.
I mean, has Phoenix said that? Because I've not heard anything that says Phoenix says
just like
he's unhappy.
Every wrestling thing, though. It's kind of, he's pulled from his indie dates. He's ready to go to WWE. He's ready to try something new. And I know that he doesn't want to let people, their contract run out. But if he does this, this is going to be ripped to shreds because all the shit he said when he first started the company. So just let him go, in my opinion. Absolutely. Just, you do not want the fucking dark cloud of smoke that people are going to throw at you for this. Does he have the right to extend him? Absolutely he has the right to.
Legally, yeah. That's how the contract was written up.
Absolutely has the right to do. Like you just said, legally. Morally, it's fucked up. And
morally,
I know...
it's hypocritical. I don't know if it's fucked up.
There you go. Like, it's hypocritical. That's much better put. And
it would be just fucked up if you think that when he says statements like that, that it doesn't have like a financial motivation behind him saying that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. So, like, if he extends it, really hope we don't get the fucking... Because just remember how passionate... And he was talking about... When Mustafa Ali's contract got extended with WWE because of the injuries, how ugly that was, and how, like, they were made out to be such villains for that. And it's just like, this would be no different. And I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, there's probably a part of Tony Khan, though, right now that's like, bro, I'm about to possibly get Ricochet. You know what I mean? Like, and
even more reason to let Phoenix go.
And, well, maybe he wants to run that match, right? Because, like... You know, we think of it as we want the Will Ospreay match, right? But I don't know that match has ever happened. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it did back in the day and I just didn't know, but like,
oh, yeah,
you know.
Oh, yeah. Lucha Underground, those two wrestled.
Oh, did they? Okay, I wasn't sure. But yep. Like, either way, like, I'm sure that was probably insane then. But yeah, I don't know. Like, the point is, like, I don't know, maybe he has something. I mean, the thing is, and I think we can agree on this, Phoenix never really reached his potential ever in AEW. Like, so, like.
No, his potential was world champion. He'd never reached it.
And, you know,
and with the Kenny Omega match at Winter is Coming, that was the moment everyone's like, oh my God, he might actually be the next Luchador World Champion.
I remember when people were saying that, and it was like something people hadn't said in decades. You know what I mean? Like, the last time they were probably saying it was when Rey Mysterio was first getting his name.
People can go back to when this podcast first started. I often called him this number one of the top wrestlers in North America. And I meant that.
Yeah.
But
it's true.
You can't do this with the contract. This is a game, really. I know everyone's like, oh, people.
It would set a real bad precedent for AEW, that's for sure.
Yep, just, I don't know. Moving on. We Wyatt and Wayne Rhodes made their AEW debut in a Collision Dark match. These are nephews of Dustin and Cody Rhodes. So, pretty cool. They wrestled Solo and Cruz, so they sent them out there with some safe wrestlers, and it was just a fun little dark match, and I'm sure for them it was really cool. Dustin Rhodes posted about it. He said, the Rhodes legacy is strong and growing. Introducing my nephews, Wyatt and Wayne Rhodes, the Texas Outlaws. And yeah, so.
So what would that be? Do they have a sister or something? Is that what it is? Like,
it must be, yeah.
Or like another relative that we just don't know about because they're not a wrestler or whatever. I do want to say, I think they do have a, they might not have a sister.
Yeah, I think they do.
Yeah.
I feel like I remember from.
From Roots to the Top, maybe? Yeah.
Yeah, Roots to the Top. That's what it is. Boom. And last little bit of news that we have here is just a little bit of speculation, a little bit of fun. So MVP, Bobby Lashley are no longer in WWE. Bobby Lashley confirmed, and MVP, it's rumored, MVP has been openly, absolutely shit-talking Triple H on his social media. If you care, if you want to look about what he's saying, you can find it very easily. However, there was a trademark filed recently. This is, again, this is a rumor. This is all under rumors. The Hurt Syndicate. We've heard for a long time that they want to run the Hurt business back. MVP, Bobby Lashley, and Shelton Benjamin would all then be free agents. So keep that in the back of your mind. I think Bobby Lashley is someone Tony would absolutely love to bring in. So an MVP, he feels pretty fun to bring in too. So yeah, it sounds like it didn't end well for them in WWE. Again, all rumor. But any interest in Bobby Lashley, Shelton Benjamin, and MVP as perhaps the Hurt Syndicate? Any interest in Bobby Lashley or just any of them individually?
I do like Bobby Lashley. I've been a fan of his for a long time. And I do miss the idea. I do think, I remember, wasn't Shelton's contract individually floated a while ago?
Yep, he was part of that last little budgets, if you will.
And then
he's kind of
been
doing his
own
thing, just in the independence.
Okay, yeah. So he's just out there, so we don't have him under. Okay, so we could actually just get him. So I remember when he first got released, I was like, yeah, I remember there was, I brought up the idea that, remember, like, what was it, like 7 years ago now when he first was potentially going to come back, when we were first reviewing, God, it might have even been like 2016 when he was in New Japan, went on this run of New Japan matches where he was just tearing it up. I couldn't tell you who he faced, but I just remember hearing that he was tearing it up in Japan. You know what I mean? And that would be like, did this video and they were like, he's like, yeah, I'm going to finish up my dates in Japan. So it'll be like a year, but I'll be back. I'm going to come back to me and Triple H, or it wasn't Triple H, but me and Vince or whoever it was that talked, and I'm going to come back to WWE. They want me back. And we thought he was going to go on this run of matches. Like, I think it was like his literal last match in Japan. He got hurt or something like that. You know what I mean? Like,
entire year delayed. Yep.
So it was like 2 years we'd been waiting for this guy because he wanted to finish out his dates in Japan, obviously, which makes sense. You know what I mean? But he had had the intention to be back in WWE. And I feel like that like maybe lost him some trust backstage because he got hurt as soon as he came back. That's a kind of a thing in WWE, even still under Triple H. It's still kind of a thing. If you get hurt when you're in a big moment.
When he finally debuted in 2017 again after that year of the injury, that was a very rough time.
Yeah, he was still a bright spot of that rough time. People did enjoy having him back. Yep. Him and Chad had a great tag team rapport, and that was in a really unfortunate time when, you know, they wanted to do that as a trio, clearly, with Christ, what's the name of the guy that ended up becoming a producer?
Jason Jordan.
Yeah. Great guy, by the way. Phenomenal wrestler. Just never got a chance to put it together because of injuries. You know what I mean?
Neck injury.
You know, tough. Really, really, really talented guy, though. But then we got a good tag team out of that. But anyway, not to like completely sidetrack here, but the whole point is there was a poised opportunity for Shelton Benjamin to go on a run. He's a lot older now, but I think he still has it, I would think, you know? Well, maybe I'm wrong. I haven't seen him wrestle in a long time, but we could at least... Wrestling old in AEW doesn't necessarily mean a bad thing. You know what I mean? Like, and he's not that old anyway. So, you know, like, but so him... Bobby Lashley, I mean, I would be interested in seeing what MVP could bring to the table, especially if they're going to do a Hurt Business type beat. I was looking at some of those things you were talking about. That's why it took me a second to respond, because I was looking at like a Reddit post where they talked about it. He seemed pretty pissed off at Triple H. So,
oh, yeah, it's actually gotten a little ugly. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that would be one way. I could tell you he'd certainly help backstage as a producer. I almost guarantee that. So, but I think he probably could still be a talent that would be useful. It all just depends on how they decide to book it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not against any idea of bringing anybody in as long as we do something useful and not like feel like we're just like the only time that we've brought somebody into AEW that I completely disagreed with it was Ric Flair, because he was just not really that useful for television. I thought maybe there was some part of him that could still be useful in a storyline. You know what I mean? And it just didn't work out that way. Yeah, you know,
that's Tony's biggest miss in terms of bringing someone in.
Yeah, 100%. And this is because Rick can't do anything anymore. Anything he'd want to do, because it's not like he doesn't want to try. Rick would wrestle a match every week if he could. If people would let him, you know what I mean? Like, but
he tarnished his own legacy too, though. So
no, I think it was tough doing that after the Ric Flair's last match. Yeah. And then not long after that, the whole fucking story about the faking the heart attack thing happened. Yeah, that was tough. Ric Flair, not a great guy, but, you know, a legendary wrestler.
We will do our all-in predictions at the end. We're going to run through our results a little quicker today.
Yeah, we're not going to spend too much time on them.
And I believe kicking us off, you have ROH episode 77, where we kicked off with a world title match, correct? That was our first
77
match.
Episodes of Ring of Honor I've reviewed. It does not feel like that many. And let's see. We opened up.
Still loving it from this esports arena. It feels like Ring of Honor.
Correct. It sucks that we're only getting like one more, right?
So I believe one more, yeah.
Oh, well. Maybe we could make... You know, we could have a home stadio for Ring of Honor. We just have to get them to agree to that deal of letting us go in there and
take... Let it be the universal thing. It worked fine.
I don't disagree with you. We could do something. We have deals. You know, like AEW has access to that studio pretty much like forever, does it not? Like, because of the fucking shit.
I'm sure some people might be wondering if for us to comment on that AEW deal thing that Fightful Select posted. That it just,
oh, right. Like they think it's close or whatever. Like, yeah, I mean,
wait until it's official.
The belief is that they did extend it, but they didn't renew it for like they didn't get more money. That's the belief, right?
Well, Fightful's today is, he said, and quote, those close to the situation, this is from Warner Brothers. He said that they made an offer. It's in AEW's hands. Those close to the situation claim the previous offers were at least double AEW's current deal, which again is 175 mil.
Okay,
for 4 years. So it's about
times that we were suggesting for like that people were suggesting like Thurston was for a couple of years, right? But it is still at least doubling. So that's at least a good thing.
Which,
if that's
the case. Seen as a success.
If it's true, which we don't know, and I doubt we'll even know if the deal does get renewed. I doubt we'll actually get legit numbers on it. I would be very surprised.
Can we say this for all in? So when that's actually announced, we will have a big discussion about it. But
100%.
Yeah. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah. Ring of Con open with Paul White backstage. I think this was with, I want to say it was, oh my gosh, what's the new interviewer chick's name? Melissa? Sorry. I want to say it was with Melissa.
Melissa Santos.
I think it was with Melissa, but it could have been Lexi or one of the other ones.
It was.
Okay, it was. I wasn't 1,000% sure. Anyway, Paul White was backstage. Paul Back was White Stage. No, anyway. And Johnny TV basically came up and was like, yo, man, I'm pretty cool. I've been winning some matches. Can I have a title shot against Mark Briscoe? And he was like, yeah, sure. Why not? I mean, you have been winning some matches and you are pretty cool. So yeah, I'll give you a title shot. And he was like, it worked. So Johnny TV was literally just winging it. He's like, fuck it. I'll try and get a title shot. And then he did. He immediately got a title shot on the show. Johnny TV took out Mark Briscoe for the Ring of Honor World Championship. I was expecting a decent amount from this, especially since it was the opening match. And I don't know. I think they delivered. I think it was pretty solid. You know, like I was mentioning earlier, I think Johnny TV is a very solid hand. And Mark Briscoe, I think, is also in that category. And sometimes when you put two guys like that against each other, it doesn't always work. But I think they're both technically sound enough that it was fine. You know what I mean? Like, I don't distrust either of them. And this fulfills what I've been asking for a long time now, Charlie, which is having Mark Briscoe defend his title on Ring of Honor television. Thank fucking Christ. Anyway.
Yep. Since this, it was, he defended it on episode 70, and then you have to go all the way back to episode 38 for it to be defended on Ring of Honor.
That's insane. That's a long time ago. That's literally almost a year ago. That's fucking ridiculous. All right. Robbie Eagles had a little video package that I thought was pretty good, where he's like, I want to compete in Ring of Honor for the TV title against Atlantis Jr. So even though I did get the vibe from this segment that this might not be the only thing that Robbie does in Ring of Honor, because he like implied that his whole faction might come to Ring of Honor, right? I do hope they do that, but it does kind of feel like this was like a one-off to have this match, you know what I mean? Like, he went to New Japan and said, hey, can you get me a match with Atlantis? And they were like, yeah, let me talk to Tony Khan. I'm sure he can set it up, you know? But maybe not. Maybe there's like something here. So I do like Robbie Eagles being in. I do like a little bit of Robbie in Ring of Honor. Blake Christian took on Leo Rush, and I was like sitting here thinking like, okay, though, and I see what the idea is here. You're putting these guys against each other. I see the 205 live action. Anyway.
This was fun.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, so like every match that I've seen for these guys with like not in AEW, I was like, I don't know. I just feel like I see a little bit more from them than I do in AEW. No offense to what they do in AEW. That's just the way that it's happened to work out. Like, I've liked a lot more of their matches on the indies or in Japan. You know what I mean? But speaking of being in Japan, I think Leo being in Japan for a little bit, or I guess for a little while, you know, now for a couple of years or whatever it's been, you know, he's so sharp now, dude. It's actually insane. Like, he, like, I don't know, like, he's, like, maybe the least ever needed to go to have, like, a little run in Japan to be able to get himself to that, like, next level or whatever. But, like, the fact that, like, he was already as good as he was and he went back to Japan, because I'm assuming he'd been to Japan before, because I just find it difficult to believe that this guy never had a run in Japan before. But he's young enough that I guess he could have not have, right? Like, I'd have to look into the history on that, but I would be really shocked if Noah didn't bring him in.
Before he went to WWE, he didn't. So
if not, you know what, that might have been like a thing. We talk about it all the time. It's a great thing for you to do with a young guy, you know, it's to send him to Japan and have him train in the dojo.
I mean, every day I feel like clips of her are popping up and it's like,
oh, yeah, she's doing stuff in Stardom, right?
Yep. She's in their tournament. So,
and that was a brilliant move. I didn't
mention it in the news, but shout out Zack Sabre Jr. for winning the G1.
Yeah, that was what we predicted.
Fucking brilliant.
And wanted, because G1 is a huge tournament, obviously, and Zack Sabre Jr. is obviously the biggest star that they have right now. So I think Zack Sabre Jr.
Company.
I think Zack Sabre Jr. is going to be New Japan's world champion sooner rather than later, I would think. You know, I would hope.
As of right now, it would be him and Naito at the Dome.
I like to think that that'll be a really good match. I don't think Zack's going to squelch in his, championship winning match. I don't know why, what I was struggling to get there to. Anyway, the whole point of I was trying to get to here though is they kind of built this match around Leo's arm being hurt by Blake and him overcoming that. And yeah, it's just really good stuff. Billy Starks and Athena made an appearance, and Billy Starks was getting drilled by Athena, and she was forcing her to do sit-ups. She did a lot of sit-ups. I would like someone to like go through and get a sit-up count. This was an insane amount. The crowd was hilarious here because they kept fucking counting the sit-ups. And then Abaddon appeared and stepped up to the plate because basically, you know, Athena was doing her thing where she's like, nobody in this division is willing to step up to me because I'm the fucking, you know, goddess of pro wrestling, basically, you know what I mean? And Abaddon's like, okay, I'm here, look at me. And they basically essentially scared the absolute shit out of Athena. And I think this should be a fun storyline. I think we ran this once already, right? I believe like last year, maybe, but I could be wrong. It might not have actually happened. It might have been like an injury prevented thing. But either way, if we didn't run this and we ran it for like one of the championships in AEW, like not these two, but like Abaddon just happened to have like a run.
Abaddon and Julia Hart.
I swear to God, Abaddon had some matches in Ring of Honor a while back. It might have been one of those things where, like, I just, like, in my head assumed...
Oh, no, she did wrestle in Ring of Honor, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
She went after Julia Hart's title.
I know she went after Julia Hart's title, but I want to say there might have been, like, a one-off pay-per-view match. Or maybe not pay-per-view match, but I think... That's why I think it might have been an injury-prevented thing. I think that her run against Julia might have been her coming back from the injury that she got when she was... I think clearly about to challenge Athena for the championship or something like that. I could be misremembering all of it, but I want to say they did have a championship. Not championship, but they had to have like a look like a... Because like that's how they always do it in Ring of Honor, right? Like now we have more women's matches in Ring of Honor nowadays, but there was a time when even though the women's division was probably booked better there, they would still only get a couple of matches on a Ring of Honor taping, you know? So if you saw like Abaddon on there, you'd be like, oh, this is probably someone that's getting a title shot. But I could be just misremembering. The point is, it should be a good storyline either way. So that should be fun. And Athena is already hamming it up in the best way with her reaction. So that should be fun. Mark Crisco reacted to the match that he had, and he was standing back there, and Ishii was standing there just looking like a million bucks. He still looks great. I got to give Ishii that. I don't know how old Ishii is, but he looks great. So shout out Ishii. He called out the Beast Mortos for a world championship match because he pinned him. I kind of like that. That's different. You know what I mean? He's like, yeah, you beat me. I'm not a pussy. We'll fight. It's all right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, send it.
I mean, it feels like he's a lot more present on this Ring of Honor than he would have been. Like, then, like this is different. So I'm down with that. You know what I mean? We got to keep this vibe going. Arya Daivari took on Katsuyori Shibata. Pretty solid match. Glad both of these guys wrestle in front of me on my TV screen every week because there was a good time there where Shibata was not a wrestler anymore because he was, you know, retired, and Daivari was not on AEW's roster for a little bit there. So, and I do like me some Daivari. So, good stuff.
Nice to see Daivari in some singles action.
Agreed.
It's been a while.
We had a little bit of Runway of Honor from NXM, which was interrupted by Maria Kanellis. God damn it, these guys fucking... I can't not spend time on these guys, Charlie, because they're just... They're too fucking good. So they're in here, and they get interrupted by Maria Kanellis, who is flanked by Griff Garrison, and she makes an offer to the MXM boys for Griff to become a new member of MXM. And he's like, well, if we were to just present our tips to you, Griff, what would you do? And he grabbed the tips, Charlie. How uncouth of that young man. It's fucking comedy, bro. I don't know how the fuck they... These guys are just, they're so, it's funny too, because I wrote this in the match that they have that we'll blitz through later, but I'll mention it now. They've had three matches in AEW with the match that we're going to talk about later. That's the third match they've had. They're already insanely over. That just says everything right there. But yeah, don't grab somebody's tips. Don't just grab the tip right away. What is going on? Griff, control your tip grabbing there. Absolutely. Harley came and took on Viva Van. Only thing I want to say from this is sign Viva Van like permanently if she's not already. Like get her under contract because very talented. Harley is, I described her as a strategically deployable crazy bad girl. So you can put her in a place like Ring of Honor for right now and she'll work. But whenever you need her to be in the main storyline, you can just throw her in there, you know? Serpentico won his mask back with the use of testicular fortitude against Griff Garrison. Griff Garrison was also referred to as the Iron Stallion. I've never heard that before, but that's hilarious. Shout out Rickabone. Billy and Athena responded to Abaddon backstage and threatened Melissa with some violence. Well, I guess I said Billy and Athena, but I think I assumed Billy was going to show up in this, but I think Athena was just... Oh, no, Billy got sent to get the car. That's what it was. My bad. My brain. Beef Henry took on Vinny Massaro and Dante Leon, and it was Anthony that picked up the win here. Action Andretti and Liam Moriarty faced off with the Peer Championship. Some early rope breaks action for action. And, you know, he put in a good showing here. You know, it could have been more, you know, like this kind of a middle of the show Peer title match. So it's like, it is what it is. It's like a little dominant win for Lee, basically. And I mean, I guess must not be as badly injured as we thought because she was backstage here. So either she was just saying bye for now or she actually is able to wrestle still. Maybe it was just... It could have not been as bad as we thought, but I thought it was a not great injury. So, but I don't know. Maybe it wasn't as bad as it had been led on. You know, maybe they're like playing it up for the storyline. Don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Atlantis Jr. took on Robbie Eagles for the Ring of Honor Television Championship. And I just love throwing this match at a random Ring of Honor. It's the kind of thing that's going to make people who are just checking out matches they hear about want to tune in to Ring of Honor, I think. Legit wins like this is also how you build up Atlantis as a legitimate champion. Because this was a random guy we just randomly threw this title on. And I think in everybody's head, they were just going to slap it right back on Kyle, you know? That is clearly not the plan. They want Atlantis to be a big star in Ring of Honor. So I honestly am in support of it because this is how you do it. Paul White was backstage again. So I guess Paul White is effectively your GM in Ring of Honor for right now. Because sure, I mean, why not? I mean, it's better than him being, you know, power slammed by Hobbs through cars. Like, that's probably not good for the man's health at this stage of his career, so probably with the best. He gets pestered by the premier athletes. I don't even remember what the fuck they wanted. It was some kind of revenge against somebody, I think. This did not stick in my mind for some reason. But the premier athletes got something they wanted out of Paul White. I can't remember what it was. I can't tell you what it was. How? I don't remember. I don't know. But then, you know, probably because I just deleted the ending of this show from my memory because I literally wrote nothing about this. We had Dustin Rhodes and was it Dustin Rhodes and the Von Erichs taking on Cage of Agony? And I think this was for the championship, I want to say, too.
It was for the championship.
And I just didn't care.
It was not anything special. I liked seeing the Von Erichs inside Arlington.
And what did they call for, like, the Gates of Agony, though? Because these were, like, two guys who was like, these could be AEW Tag Team Champions. And now they're losing to like a team that was made like 3 weeks ago.
Back to that thing earlier from AEW's just failed their tag division in trying to get other people over, and they've gone back to their comfortable match, you know. So,
and that's it.
Yeah, I got Dynamite and Rampage. You got Collision, and then we'll hit our All In predictions at the very end. So, okay, we get our footage from backstage of last week with the brawl out situation. Cool. Hangman Adam Page defeats Jay Lethal. This is just a hard-hitting match from Hangman. Still not entirely clear what he's doing at All In, unless they add a match against Jeff Jarrett this week.
I would think that would be a pre-show, man. It's still, like, I don't even know if that will be the point of that. Maybe this is like a Dynamite after match or something. Like, I don't even know.
Toss them both in the gauntlet. I don't know.
Or just have him, you know what, here's what you do. Add All In, backstage, Hangman beats up Jeff Jarrett. There you go.
We get this was, yeah, Buckshot Lariat for the victory. Okay. We get footage of MJF defending the title against Michael Oku. They show Will Ospreay saving him. Michael Oku has been linked to AEW this week. Again, it's all rumor, so we won't confirm nor deny, but maybe his debut happens at All In that gauntlet match. Just, you know, just a highlight reel for their match. Pac is backstage. He's looking for his Wembley moment. He's going to, you know, beat the American champion at All Out in the same arena he beat Kenny Omega in 5 years ago. We get Darby catchbacks, watching footage of him with the Butcher, with Hologram. Pretty much saying years ago he was killing himself on the indies. Till the hair of AEW. Who the fuck is Jack Perry? Yeah.
Right. So, I actually thought that this was like, I didn't, obviously the story writes itself, right? But I didn't think it was going to be this good. When they cut all this stuff together for the video package, that might be the best video package of the weekend, honestly. Because like, it's one of the best stories. I mean, the crazy thing about going into this weekend, when we go through all these matches, every single one of these stories is actually brilliantly done. So like, I don't think there's a single bad story going into Wembley. I mean, maybe you could say that
this year,
the tag team division, but because of the FTR now being in the mix, if you consider all the stuff going on with them, it's actually probably a good storyline now. So it's like, you know, like...
Oh yeah, regardless of how we feel, they've spent time on it, and that's been the biggest difference with All In this year. Every single match has been spent time on. Every single one of them, all 10 that have been announced, and 11 if we get Jarrett and Hangman. Darby
has Hook and is that going to be at Wembley? Do we have a Hook match? Okay, because I think last week people weren't sure, and I think even MJF was like, that would be a good match to throw on the show. So maybe he literally said something to Tony.
But yeah, Darby hits his entrance. Jack Perry jumps him, and yeah, this is pretty good. He lowered a door onto him. It was pretty good. He said he wants it to be a coffin match. I can't think of a better scenario for these guys. Good for them. Mariah May has a video promo here, and she asks if it's better to be remembered or forgotten, to be put in the ground or go down in flames. She could be Toni Storm's successes, but not her mistakes. This year, it's all about Mariah. Storm's biggest mistake was being around the same time as May. And the tears taste for blood. She has better things to do. One day she'll wonder whatever happened to Toni Storm. Don't worry.
Happened to Mariah May, man?
They're both going to die.
Person now.
Yeah, I kind of wish they started with this. I don't think she's doing the Toni Storm gimmick here. I this worked for me. I think most importantly, it was the following segment. We get Renee interviewing Mina Shirakawa, where last time she saw them, you know, it was a thruple, essentially. And she's heartbroken about what happened. And she's never seen Mariah so vicious, or nor Storm so vengeful. She hopes no one winds up hurt. So it's a nice little thing from her. But yeah, I think this was the strongest Mariah video that we've had, Mariah promo. But Toni Storm's videos and her interruptions of the matches have been strongly carrying the build to this. But still, the biggest thing that carried it was Mariah's attack. That is still the best attack going into any of these programs. So that was fucking brutal. But yeah, it's still kind of just a very okay mid-package, but better than what we had with her in-ring promos. I will say that. We get a really fun action-packed triple threat match with Orange Cassidy defeating Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly. He earned the number one entry to the Casino Gauntlet at All In. I'll tell you what. I get teases in this match of Roddy and Kyle being a tag team again. We'll see if those seeds sprout into something or if they're just seeds to be seeds. But this was a really fun little match. And yeah, I mean, I kind of hope Orange wins this thing to make this matter, but I'm glad they're making positions in the Gauntlet match matter. You know, little things.
So what's the Gauntlet get again? It's a shot at something, right? It's a
shot at the world title. Yeah.
Yeah, so I wonder if that shot will be at All Out or just on TV.
I don't know. The All Out match is already booked.
You know what, you're right.
He won a Rampage.
Yeah, he won a different match. That's right. So never mind. Correct. I
or is that corrected. Grand Slam? You know what? That's Grand Slam. It could be for All Out.
Right. They could be like, you know, actually Darby's going to get a title shot when we want him to. So shut up.
Yeah, it could be for All Out. It's for Grand Slam. So yeah, it could be for All Out. Very well could be. And that'd be fun. Oh, Jesus. Hold on. We had a lot of shit in between here.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Renee was backstage with Claudio and Kazuchika Okada. And Claudio cuts a fucking heater of a promo. He says what everyone's been thinking. Okada just makes, you know, he does a mocking bitch promo. And Claudio just dives into him once he leaves. He's very unbelievably passionate. 12 guys fought for the title as champion. Claudio will respect him for what he's done. But he said he hopes he doesn't get the elite lackey next week. He wants the true Rainmaker, the Tokyo Dome main eventer. He's bringing everything he's got. Okada will have 99 problems, and this bitch will be number one. So the crowd reacted.
The Claudio can't cut a promo. It's more like he just doesn't feel like it, man. He just feels like his ring proves it more than. It's like Walter can also cut a promo, right? But you know, sorry, what is his fucking name?
Gunther. He just beat the living shit out of you in the ring and send another message.
Yeah, I never needed to see a single promo from Gunther when I saw the Ilya Dragunov match. Never needed to see it, and that had no fans. But god damn, was it loud? Jesus, God, those chops were. There's no way Ilya could walk after that match, right? Like, there's no way.
Hell no. Footage of the trio's titles from Collision was shown. Pretty good stuff. Renee gets an interview.
That guy should come to aid.
Will these titles be defended at Wembley? And they set up what they're end up doing next week with their match. So the best part of this was Cage pretty much telling Renee, get lost and go be a mother. And he's like, hope you're a better mother than an interviewer.
Hear me out. Set up a John Moxley feud.
Yeah, could very well could be.
I would love that.
Hook. We get Hook in the ring. He's blinded by Jericho. He wants to fight Jericho for his FTW title right here and now. Jericho came out. They set the match up for Wembley. Young Bucks defeat the Acclaimed via disqualification to retain the AEW World Tag Team titles. First title defense. They won the titles in April. The Acclaimed earned this title shot 2 months ago. You can pitch limited dates. You can pitch everything you fucking want to. That, I think, has been one of the core problems that we've had here with this tag division. But
I just be honest with you, it's amazing to me. You have one of the, if not the second best, if not the best in some people's opinion, tag team in the world as your tag team champions, and you're not running insane matches on every pay-per-view. I mean, like, okay. Nope. Maybe there were injuries we didn't know about, but like maybe we should have known about those. Like, I maybe it was something super personal, but maybe we just know that there's a reason why they can't wrestle. You know what I mean? Like, that's all it would have taken, and we wouldn't feel this way because we'd be like, yeah, there were circumstances that were out of people's control, and we may feel a certain type of way about it, but there wouldn't be anything we could do about it. You know what I mean? Whereas the way it stands, as far as we know, they're just not defending them because in storyline they just don't want to, and so because they have the EVP power, they don't have to. And it's like, okay. But that doesn't really make me feel like, oh, what a great title reign that I want to see someone. I just want to see someone else have it because I just don't want them to be doing that anymore. It's just like, okay, go away. Like, I'm done with you. Like,
and after all the wait, this was just an okay match. And with an unsurprising finish. So we get a world tier video package for Bryan Danielson showing his title versus career set to Green Day's Good Riddance. If you fight for your dreams will fight for you. Unbelievably great. They can't wait for this world title match. I get.
I wrote down a million things in my notes while watching this package, but like the one thing I want to talk about was the way the look on Bryan Danielson's face when he was done watching this. Cause I was thinking in my head, I was like, how is he not, like, how are we not going to get some kind of reaction from Bryan? And of course, that motherfucker snuck out into the crowd, you know what I mean, to watch the video, because he loves to do that, you know what I mean? And somebody in the camera crew found him, and who knows, they may have just sent him out there, but in my head, he just went out there to watch it, you know what I mean? And dude, that guy was ready to cry. Like, that was, that was, like, what an emotional video package.
It was so well done.
Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah, so well done. So, yeah.
Hey, if anybody was ever as close as you could be to Wolverine in real life, it's fucking Bryan Danielson. He's just not Canadian, you know. That's the only problem, but we can fix that.
Yeah, we get a pretty decent match between Swerve and Yuta. It ends via referee stoppage. The crowd almost seems split, so it's working to pull on the emotions of the crowd. But Swerve wouldn't stop beating him in. Danielson jumped the barricade. Swerve bailed out. He took the mic. He said, it's just an example of what he'll do in 2 weeks. Is he going to bring his family? Which we know he is. Where Danielson sat tonight, the same thing will happen for his daughter. She'll watch her dad wrestle his last match. He'll force him to quit. He will retire him. And pretty much as Danielson turned his back as he was looking at Yuta to try and help him out, he Swerve sprinted in, hit a house call kick, stood over him doing the yes chance, and Prince Nana danced around. Unbelievable fucking closing chapter there. And it's technically not the end, because there is still the Wales show. All right, Rampage. Orange Cassidy's Homer Ishii and Mark Briscoe defeated the Outrunners and the Butcher. It's pretty easy. You know, Kyle O'Reilly was fun on commentary here. And yeah. Nala Rose defeated Erica Lee in a squash match. Erica Lay, I believe. Beast Bomb victory. So Harley Cameron and Saraya cut an in-ring promo, and I thought this was fantastic. Cameron would constantly kind of like interject with Saraya, right? As she's going down her career, starting with the women's title at last year at All In, ending with her dinner and a movie available on the TBS app. Tony Storm came out, challenged Saraya, offering her a title shot at Wednesday. And Saraya's like, I'm gonna kick your ass. Storm said she'd need a bigger foot. This was fun. This was just fun.
A bigger foot.
The Acclaimed to Billy Gunn. Shout out to Young Bucks and FTR. Nick Wayne defeated Kip Sabian.
That was a match.
I was hoping for more. But when I realized it wasn't the main event, and we still had two more matches, damn, I was really expecting more from these two. But I did like that Nick Wayne showed his dark side. He was going after the surgically repaired shoulder. And, you know. All right, they announced Collision. In the back, Christian Cage approved. Scorpio Sky tried to get into Private Party's private party. He wasn't on the list. Zay and Quinn let him in anyways. Abaddon could be seen drinking in the corner.
Okay, that checks out.
Kyle Fletcher and Roosh defeated Cam and Rhett Titus in a squash match. Roosh demanded Don Callis get him something big. Fletcher apologized to Callis for losing last week to MJF, but Callis just wanted Fletcher to look ahead to the next thing. Is Kyle a babyface? They don't know. They don't fucking know. Maybe we get a blood feud with him and Roosh. I don't know. Top Flight defeated the MXM Collection. What a fun match to end Rampage on. This, Top Flight, have fully embraced the gimmick. It's going to take a little bit for me, I think. It's going to take a little bit. I'm not immediately in love with it.
Have them drop the pilot's outfits at some point because they're silly, but like, I mean, you know, like, but for now, it'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm not immediately in love with it, but I'll get used to it. I do love this team. I'm glad we're
like a secondary team because that's not the kind of gimmick you give to like the team that's going to win the tag team titles. You know what I mean? Like it's straight up.
They can get it over. Look, there's
you can be over and not be the champions though. That's what I'm saying. Like this is purely just to be a team that like.
But look at the Acclaim's gimmick. You know.
Look, the
Acclaim's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, but the Acclaim's gimmick's a lot less ridiculous than like Captain.
I'm not worried about it in terms of them raising or lowering their level. Just it's going to take some time. Yeah. Okay. But this was a lot of fun. They pulled the fucking distraction thing with Layla Gray and Mansoor. And then Mason Madden tried to interrupt it. And I saw someone put, this is the definition of bi panic in wrestling.
True.
This was just so much fun. If you guys are looking for a fun match this week, I think this is... Neither of us put this as our favorite, ironically, but this is probably the match.
It easily could have been. If anything,
this is probably the match I would recommend for anyone to watch this week if they're looking for something, because this was a fucking blast.
I still think AEW should go and take one match that's like 15 minutes or less and post it every week. That's just so happens to get to that like next level and just post it on the YouTube channel. I guarantee you there are random people searching shit on AEW that will find those matches.
NXT wasn't even over yet. And I saw on YouTube, it was like 9:15. They had already uploaded a full match from the night. So NXT wasn't even over. I'm like, AEW should be doing that with Rampage. They should be doing that with these fucking shows. Just fucking toss them up there. So yeah, this was a blast. Everything I kind of was hoping. And it gives me optimism for the future of the tag division. I really hope by Wrestle Dream, we have a coherent direction with some of these newer teams and some of these younger teams. So let's go on to Collision, where we've covered the main event, but we did not cover the beginning. Our final show from the Esports Arena.
Yep. And we opened the show up with Britt Baker taking on Harley Cameron. A little tune-up match for Wembley. This was solid. Nothing particularly special here, in my opinion. Camille attacked, and Hulk smashed a kendo stick. That's how I described it in my notes, and I feel like that's an accurate way to put it. And I put a little shocked face emoji, which is what Britt looked like after she did that. She was like, oh, shit. Well, maybe I can't fight you, you know? Maybe you will kill me if I try, you know? We got the recap of the All in Texas announcement, which was immediately followed, Charlie, by a recap of the stuff with Dustin and Sammy. And Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara then came out to take on the Kingdom for the A Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships. So I thought this match was going to be thrown out about halfway through because the Cage of Agony and the Conglomeration and a bunch of other people came out. They never threw the match out.
Forget that we just had a match end in disqualification the night before, technically, in chronological order.
Right. Whatever. Okay. Anyway, I even wrote my notes to check the article for what happened here. I don't even care. It's a bunch of teams just swarmed the ring and it was chaos for a few minutes and then they just continued the match. So, Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara went on to win and they're your new Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. So Dustin Rhodes is a double Ring of Honor champion right now. He's got all the tag gold in Ring of Honor. And if that's not the most damning indictment of this kingdom, I don't know what is. You know, like, I feel bad for Taven and Bennett because they've been doing good work, but they've just been kind of stuck in a shit gimmick for a while, you know? And
And shout out them for, you know, we finally lose the titles and it's not on the Ring of Honor show. So real good stuff there, I gotta say. But no, they've been in Ring of Honor week in and week out. We've covered how we've loved that. However, it was time to move on from the reign. I think they recognize that. Everyone behind the scenes recognized that. 234-day title reign.
Yeah. Yeah. And only, like, 13 of those days was Adam Cole involved or something. So, like, you know, like...
Yeah. GGs anyway. for not doing it on the actual Ring of Honor programming.
Yeah.
But we'll hit their title reign in a fucking instant here. They beat... As the Devil's Masked Men, they defeated MJF in a 2-on-1 match. That was how they won the title at New Year's Smash. I'll read all their successful defenses. Aaron Savages, the Infantry, 2.0, the Conglomeration, the Infantry, and then they lost the title. They did a lot of Proving Ground matches. Arguably, they wrestled the most on Ring of Honor. I enjoyed having them as champions. But it was time to end it, and they did. So
agreed.
Good on them for ending it when they did.
We had various people from the backstage area, like various wrestlers, talent, whatever, give their thoughts on who they thought was going to win between Swerve Strickland and Bryan Danielson at All In.
So good. Good
stuff. And yeah, a lot of good stuff in there. Claudio refused to answer the question. Good stuff. Nice. You know?
Yeah.
We had the Learning Tree, Chris Jericho, having some words for his opponent's upcoming. He has an opponent in Cardiff and an opponent at Wembley. Obviously, Hook is his opponent at Wembley. Who is Fuxy facing in Cardiff again? I can't remember.
Tommy Billington.
Ah, that's right, the Dynamite Kid. That should be a good match. And yeah, so good, should be good stuff there. If I could give since we've been just throwing random young talent like Atlantis, Tommy Billington, whoever at Jericho, throw my boy Hologram at him next. That'd be pretty cool. Be pretty cool. Maybe that it could derail Hologram, but you know, he might get caught in that vortex.
As long as Hologram wins.
Agreed.
You know, yeah, let's keep away from the vortex for now.
Agreed. Speaking of Hologram, he took on Angelico here, and this was a really, really solid collision overall, I must say, is when I kind of started to realize it. We got to this point in the show, and I was like, man, I'm just like still vibing with this collision. All right, it's probably going to, you know, be a really solidly good show, which I believe I did end up going on to be. This match was no exception to that. And you know what this has made me aware of, Charlie, is that this every match that they've done with Hologram has shown off a different thing that he's been doing and capable of doing. Like, yeah. This time it was his mat wrestling, which is pure lucha, by the way. And that was what they showed off in this match. He picked the win using it. So Hologram, I think, is going to, I think, continue on this momentum wave. And Charlie, this might be a little early to say this. I think he could collide with Jack Perry and win the TNT championship if he's still champion after Darby. You know what I mean? Which I think, since Darby's got a world title shot, it's probably a good chance that Darby's maybe going to lose that. But I don't know. I'm not saying that yet. I'll say my predictions. But you know what I mean?
Part of me feels like they're going to protect him how they did Hook.
That would be cool. But I think we could see him go for a championship eventually, is what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, and how they protect Abaddon. I see a similar thing with Hologram right now. Just to compare it to another luchador, because that's the easy thing to do. I don't see this being a commander situation where they just kind of toss him out there and he loses a lot.
Okay, that's fair.
Protect Hologram.
I think that's fair. We got a video package of the history of the Tiger Driver, narrated by Excalibur and a little bit by Will Ospreay. And wow, this was a brilliant video package. This fucking tickled me in the right places because we were talking about Misawa. You know what I mean? Like,
can we disagree? This is what AEW is all about right here.
100%.
We got a video package about a fucking wrestling move. Like, this is the shit we jizz our jammies for, straight up. Like,
100%. I was definitely I was
watching
Robinson in this segment, you know.
Hellacious Hellcat. That's gonna be coming up soon.
Oh, Jesus Christ. The history the history of the Tiger Driver segment might be one of my all time AEW segments. Jack Perry beats a man pretty quickly here and basically looking to bury Darby Allin. He spray painted the guy's face white and then fucking put him in a body bag, literally. We had Christian Cage's patriarchy.
Hold on. This is where Jack shows off his new title.
That's true. That's like he actually like made it himself.
He put up a video about how he made it, and this is a legit metal title. He made it all himself. He painted it. Absolutely brilliant video. I will retweet that on Eat Sleep Elite after we're done with the show.
Okay.
Fucking incredible.
But yeah, good stuff. And then I'm just going to try it because I'm really running out of time here. Christian Cage, the Patriarchy. Basically, okay, we got the announcement that Patriarchy, House of Black, and Bang Bang Gang are going to be in a ladder match called a London Ladders match because of the Christian Cage shenanigans from the last match. And there's going to be another team added on the Cardiff show next week in some sort of trios match that's going to determine the last trio. Claudio Castagnoli had a really, really good match with Leo Rush. I described it as the Darby Allin effect. It's like such a volley overwhelming offense from the big man that it's like a perfect opportunity to lay out and to sell really well. And then it makes the comeback even crazier when they end up coming back against the big man. Claudio does end up picking up the win here, but it provided Leo with an opportunity to show off what he could do. Eddie Kingston gave us a brief injury update saying like, yeah, I'm fucked. I'm not coming back for a while, but the fuck is up with this Brian Danielson guy? He's kind of a pussy, is he not? And I was like, what the fuck? But anyway, doesn't think he has what it takes to beat Swerve.
I like it.
Mariah May decimates a jobber in mere minutes. And then we got a film presentation by Toni Storm. That was pretty fun. Anything you wanted to add about that? Because that was a pretty good segment.
Yeah, just I like the Storm Zero hitting the win. And she'll regret the day she met the woman who loved her. Nice little
touch. Good stuff.
Wrestling is a romance.
And we talked about the main event, so that takes us to the end of the show here, and I believe our predictions. So,
absolutely. We'll kick it off with the one and only Zero Hour. I was forgetting what it's fucking called.
Yeah, we only have one match this year.
Tag team match. Chris Statlander and Stokely Hathaway.
Ooh, okay, so they did make the show, so we have more than one.
Versus Willow Nightingale and Tomohiro Ishii. Who do you got?
Probably Ishii. You're going to beat the shit out of Stoke, I would think, right? You know?
Yeah. And winner gets to confirm the stipulation for their match at All Out. I'm with you. I got Willow. I'll tell you what, I got Willow pinning Stoker. Let's get a little fucking freaky.
That'd be pretty funny.
Match number two, Timeless Toni Storm versus the Glamour Mariah May. This is the crowning moment for Mariah May, and we will see where this title ring goes.
New champ. And then we hit Jamie Hayter's music, and everyone fucking nuts in their jeans.
This match for the AEW American Championship, MJF versus Will Ospreay.
Surely Will wins it back in front of his home people, right?
I don't know. What are you thinking?
I think Will, because the thing is, like, right, we know he's probably, because, like, the thing is, it really depends on how you think they're going to book the main event, right? Like,
it's so hard to pick this winner. It's so good. I don't even know. You can make a case for both.
Oh, yeah, no, MJF could hold this title. Nah, sure. I got to go with Will Ospreay here. That's like, you got to have him win at one.
I am with you, but I could totally. You can make the case for MJF winning this, and I'll fucking 100%.
I could see it, but I think Will has to win
for the AEW TNT Championship. It's a coffin match. I don't think Darby loses, but Jack just made that new title.
And
I'm going Jack Perry.
Darby's got a world title shot. Like, him walking into that world title shot as TNT champion, he's guaranteed to lose. If he walks out...
Shit gets messy when you start doing that. I'm not a fan of that, yeah.
Yeah, so I think I want to believe that he has a chance to win the world title off of either Swerve or Bryan Danielson. So, you know, like...
Plus, Jack Perry is actively elevating his career right now, holding this championship.
Agreed.
And he needed to.
And I think he's also trying to rebuild the legacy of the TNT Championship a little bit. And I don't think Darby would do anything to hurt that, but I don't think it would. I think it would be better to leave it on Jack longer.
We have Mercedes Moné versus Dr. Britt Baker DMD for the AEW TBS Championship.
I think Mercedes retains. Yeah.
I'm with you. I got Mercedes retaining. I really think this match needs to be a fucking banger. More than anything, any match on this card, this one is going to have the most eyes looking at it for banger watch. No one thinks Jericho and Hook's going to be a god-tier match. They need this one to be. Up next was the Casino Gauntlet, where I got Jon Moxley winning this thing.
I have Ricochet winning.
Okay. Because I think it's going to run Moxley and whoever our next champion is.
I don't know. I think I have the Joker. Here's what I have. I have the Joker winning, but I don't know who that is. So it could be a million people.
I don't even know if the Gauntlet has a Joker. Everyone just keeps coming out. Theoretically, it could be the whole roster, right?
Yeah, I guess when I say the Joker, I mean a surprise entrant that nobody's expecting. Okay. Like
maybe
somebody,
Lashley, Oku, Ricochet. Yeah.
Like that vein, there's a lot of veins on Bobby Lashley. But, you know, but like that, like, you know, tier of people that we potentially could come in. That could be a lot of people.
Chris Jericho versus Hook.
I mean, I think Hook wins here, I think.
Yeah. Jesus. I'm going Hook. Yeah. You can send those other guys to the trios. Match.
I'm sure you do that to the trios division. Man.
I know. I just fucking scared myself. Match. No, the other guys will carry it. Match 8: Young Bucks versus FTR versus the Acclaimed. I got nothing.
Please, God, let FTR win these fucking titles.
I think it's going to be the Acclaimed. I'm going with the Acclaimed here. Who do you got? FTR.
Yeah, please, God, just make this tag division worth something again.
Match 9: The Patriarchy versus Bang Bang Gang versus House of Black versus Wild Card Winners in a 4-way London ladder match. By the way, I think this match might be the most fucking batshit crazy match since the Stampede.
Oh, no, someone's losing a leg in this match, for sure.
Who do you got? Match 9.
I have Jay White somehow being involved in the match and being the one that loses the leg. And...
Oh, no.
And then he has to be, and he becomes Butch, the manager. Anyway, no, I mean, would it be insane if, like, the third trio, like, okay, do we think, like, the third trio is probably just going to be, like, the Kingdom and Roddy or something like that?
The conglomeration's a safe pick here.
That's fair. Although, I mean,
Kyle O'Reilly, and Orange Cassidy is probably your safe
Orange pick. Cassidy's in a match on the show already, so I don't know if that's a thing.
Yeah, I mean, that is the safe pick here, though. Conglomeration.
I mean, you're probably not wrong. I just, you know, and Ishii's also booked on this show.
The only trio that's been winning matches. So, if that's we're going based off that.
The Kingdom, because they've, I think, won some matches against the conglomeration. So, like, you know, like, but I don't know. We'll see what that turns out to be. Of the teams that are in the match, probably, I mean, it would make the most sense to have, because it's like a 4-way and it's ladders, probably have, like, some shenanigans come down and Christian retains, right? Like, Christian is the patriarchy retained, I would think. I don't actually know, to be honest with you, because, like, the trio
division
is weird.
I think we're going 2-time. I got the House of Black winning.
That would be the best decision, probably.
Final match.
At the most.
Title versus career for the AEW World Championship match. Swerve Strickland versus Bryan Danielson.
Oh, Christ.
All of the stars have aligned. Danielson can defend this thing against Darby. He can defend this. He can drop this back to Swerve, right? All the stars are aligning, but he can also retire against Swerve Strickland. I have felt confident Danielson was going to win this match. It's shifted. I'm taking Swerve. I think he has Swerve retire him. Don't feel confident about this pick. I don't feel confident about either. And I've never been more stressed out about a match in my life. But maybe if I pick Swerve, Danielson will win.
Yeah, maybe.
Either way, I got Swerve Strickland finishing the career of Bryan Danielson.
Surely, Charlie, it can't end like this. I mean, if it was ever going to end anyway, this would be the best way. But
At Wembley, and using his fucking song, I mean, dude.
Do we know for sure he's going to come out to final? I mean, they're calling it the final countdown, but like...
You just answered it, yeah.
Anyway,
And he can always wrestle Nigel next year at that London show that, you know, like... This is a career in terms of his in-ring career, I think. We'll get one. I don't know. That opens a whole other tricky question.
No, the Nigel match has to be done. It's never happening at that point. You know what I mean? Because otherwise, it feels like kind of disingenuous to Swerve. Or not disingenuous. It feels like we're taking that away from Swerve then. Because then that's not his last match. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like the effect that you had by having John Cena wrestle The Undertaker just so we could have that match after Roman Reigns retired The Undertaker. Like, Roman Reigns didn't really retire The Undertaker anymore. You know what I mean? Like, even though he still says that, like, did you, though? You know, like...
But again, they haven't done Danielson and Nigel yet. They probably won't do it. I think they'd love to do it, but maybe...
No, I was expecting it to somehow sneak in to the last pay-per-view.
Maybe they sneak in the Ring of Honor. So, yeah, I'm sticking with Swerve. I'm sticking with Swerve. Who do you got?
I think I have to take... I really want Bryan to win the championship.
I
think there's a scenario where, and people may not like this, where he wins the championship and then just drops it. You know what I mean? Like, I know
well,
that
if he
really...
wins this thing, he is dropping it to Swerve at WrestleDream. I would bet everything I have on that.
So, like, he could be like Jon Moxley briefly as champion, not under contract.
He will only hold this thing for about 6 weeks.
And then just drop it to the next, you know. So, like, it can be that simple, you know. But... Well, it would make more sense to have him drop it, like, in a couple weeks at All Out, right? Realistically. I mean, yeah, it'd be hard to book that match, but, I mean... So
he takes it to his hometown if he fucking wins it.
True.
Which is what I would do. Let me clarify that.
Yeah.
I would have Danielson win this and re-drop it to Swerve. That's what I would personally do. But how they've built this up. They've done such a great job. They've sold me.
But yeah, I mean, I agree with what you said. I think I'm really sad because, you know, we're not going to have Bryan Danielson full-time wrestling anymore. Obviously, I don't want the guy to, like, you know, have health issues for the rest of his life. That was kind of like the whole thing that scared me at first when he first came back, you know, like, but like, you know, like I just, if there was ever a time, like you said, to cap off this career, the way they built it up, they couldn't possibly go out on a bigger, you know,
but talk about putting over the next big guy.
And, you know,
just like he did, just like when he put over Kofi, he likes to make people's moments. And I think there's a part of Danielson's career that maybe he'll never be as acknowledged for it as he should, how many moments he's made. But I think it's very important, and it's going to be heartbreaking no matter what happens. So is that your final pick, Danielson?
Yes. And we need to wrap this up, like, quickly.
Yep, you heard it here, folks. That'll be it for us. So we will catch you guys when we're reviewing All In. Well, so we'll catch you guys for that post show. See ya.